Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to Cooks Memorial Presbyterian Church. We're delighted that you're here with us this Memorial Day weekend to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. This morning we'll receive the 10 cents a meal offering. Please put marked donations in the offering plate or on communion table. Thank you. Today we'd like to say to Cooks veterans and those somehow associated with Cooks and or members, thank you for your service to our country and to every one of us and all the freedoms that we enjoy. Cheryl took some time and put together this list, and I hope everybody got one today, and it has active and previous members as paired with their service branch. And it just it really is humbling to look at this list and to see the men and I assume women that have served our Lord from this church that have done and made sure that we're protected in our homes. So please don't overlook this today as you go through your day and remembering that Memorial Day we remember the fallen the most of all today. So. And then we remember Jesus saying that there is no greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And we think about the fallen heroes of our country as having done just that, that they laid down their life for our freedom. And we're grateful for that. Please note there'll be no great stories of the Bible class tonight due to it being Memorial Day weekend. Classes will resume in the fall. The church office also, please keep in mind, will be closed tomorrow for the Memorial Day holiday. We still need some ushers this June through September. Please see Denise Veed this morning to let her know you'll be willing to do that. If you haven't already registered your child today for Cook's Vacation Bible School, God's Wonder Lab, there's more information about that in today's bulletin. And of course, the Cook's men will be sponsoring their 2022 Antique Auto Show June the 11th with a rain date of June the 18th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'm not telling y'all anything you don't already know, but that event is an awful lot of fun and just a fantastic way for us to greet the community that's around us. And please take part in that event in a couple of weeks.
There will be a bake sale.
There will be a bake sale.
At the car show. So, ladies, gentlemen, start baking. And
amen.
Connie Lucky needs a lot of help.
Butter, flour, sugar, and eggs, right? We can make cookies. We can make cakes. It's such a fun event, guys. Take part in any way you know how. Thank you, Petey. Cook's Church will hold a mission trip to Caggiato Children's Home from Thursday to Tuesday, September 15th through 27th. Contact Gay List if you'd like more information. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary this Sunday are in loving memory of Paul Thompson Jr. and Brian Thompson to remember their birthdays this past week. The colors are to represent our country and honor those who died in their service. With love and appreciation from Debbie and Charlie McCrary. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any other announcements that need to be brought to? Yeah.
I said last Sunday I expressed wanting to know if there was an interest in ages 1 to 50. I'm taking back that age. Golden Corral starts at 55 for seniors. That's where we're stopping, 1 to 55. So don't get out of it if you've got a birthday coming up and you're going to turn. Also, I said I would give more information today, but I forgot it was Memorial Day weekend, and most of the people that would be included in this are not here, so next Sunday we'll have a lot more information about it. Thank you.
Okay. At this point, we are real fortunate to celebrate three graduates this year, and so we've got, fortunately, a little video montage that we can show once we bring down the screen. Let me read our three graduates. Rebecca Wiltz, daughter of Rick and Heather, will graduate from Lincoln Charter on June the 3rd, 2022. She will be attending Temple University. Wow, Philadelphia. That'll be cool. In the College of Media and Communication. Ashley Phipps, daughter of Jimmy and Janice, graduated from the City College of New York in December 2021 with her master's in museum studies. She's currently applying for jobs in that field. And Paul Love, son of Max and Penny, is graduating from the University of California at Irvine on June the 11th, 2022, with his PhD in political science. He plans to find a tenured track professorship. And so now we get to see, for just a few minutes, some of the wonderful memories. Well, we've got one of our graduates here, and is the case. We provide the graduates with a little something to help them remember their church home. Rebecca, would you mind coming? That's a big deal to graduate. Are you looking forward to it? Well, I've got so many questions about Temple, but I'll ask them to you some other time.
Sounds good.
Let's have a word of prayer for our graduates. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you've seen these young men and women through their studies. And Heavenly Father, as they now find themselves on to the next phase of their lives, we just pray that you'd continue to surround them by the power of your Holy Spirit. providing for them everything necessary for them to grow, not only as humans, but most especially as Christians. Gracious God, be there for them when they scrape their knees or bump their toes, O Lord, just as you're there for them when they celebrate the highs of being an adult. Gracious God, surround us all with your watch, care, and love this day and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, we make these prayers. Amen. Thank you.
But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house.
I will bow down to your holy temple in the fear of thee.
Lend me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies.
Make your way straight before me.
Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we gather now to worship you, we pray, O Lord, that you sustain us and save us. Help us, O Lord, to put our trust in you into our worship, whether we have a little or a lot. May our praise bring you glory and remind us of your promises. We love you, Lord. We seek your presence and we worship you alone. Father God, we come before you today laying down our pride and our arrogance, selling it all and confessing our need for you. We lay our needs at your feet and worship you alone. Without you, Heavenly Father, we are nothing. Teach us now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, how to worship you in all love and transparency. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we open our mouths to give you praise. We make all these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite those of you who are able to rise and sing our first hymn, Holy, 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 number one.
Thank you.
First John remarks that if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But that if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sin and remove from us any and all transgressions and iniquity. So friends, we come to this work of confession broken and needy, but we find ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit uplifted through the knowledge that we share a common problem, but we share, thankfully, the common solution, which is Jesus Christ, who has surrendered his life as an atoning sacrifice for our sin, so that we can make these confessions of our sinfulness with the strong assurance that we are the forgiven people of our Lord. Join me now as we confess our sin. Dear Heavenly Father, we lower our heads before you, and we confess that we have too often forgotten that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on with our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being a credible witness to you. For these things, we ask your forgiveness, and we also ask for your strength. Give us clear minds and open hearts so that we may witness to you in our world. Remind us to be who you have us be, regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to you and build our relationship with you and with those you have given us on earth. Amen. The great good news afforded us in Scripture is that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. That necessarily means that he is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. He is the one who takes on to himself the sin of the world so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. We now confess our faith using the language of the Apostles' Creed. Join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, he was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in our second hymn, number 465.
Do not.
At this time, we'd like to invite the children to come forward and have a seat on the carpet for a time with Miss Petey.
Good morning. What is special about today? What are we celebrating? Well, actually, Memorial Day is tomorrow. We're celebrating some of our young people that are doing what? Graduating. Yes, we have one of them here with us, Miss Rebecca. These young people have dreams, and they have decided to follow their dreams. Rebecca is going to study in the College of Media and Communication. Ashley Phipps got her master's in museum studies and is looking for a job in that field. And Paul Love is graduating with his PhD, and we're going to be able to call him Dr. Love. And he's hoping that he can find a position as a professor. Do you all have dreams like these? What do you dream of doing after you graduate from high school?
Going to college to learn how to become a game designer.
Okay. Aiden wants to go to college to learn how to be a game designer. That's a good, good profession. How about you? Go to college, and he wants to play baseball. Well, I want to encourage you to follow your dreams. Keep pursuing what it is that you love, and I hope one of these days your dreams will come true. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for allowing us to dream. And please be with us as we try to follow those dreams. In Jesus' name, amen. And yes, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and we want to remember this. Some of these people fought for our country, and they died. And that's why we have Memorial Day tomorrow, for their memory. Okay? Have a good week.
Thank you.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word, and we do so, as always, with a prayer for illumination. Join me. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, breathe into us that we might hear a word of truth this day. Draw us into communion. Enable us to love. Conspire to make us one with you for the world you so deeply love. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Hi, I will be reading from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Thanks, Rebecca. We come now into the New Testament, and I continue this week a sermon series that I began a couple of weeks ago that's looking very closely at 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 1 through 6. I selected this, I told you, for some personal reasons, but the more and more I come to study this particular section of Scripture, the more I am convinced of something, that the Scripture really does provide us what we need when we need it. And this is a very rich scripture. This is very packed with theological information. That's one of the reasons that we're trying to extract some of it, so as to not miss any of its wonderful nuances or any of its facets of brilliance. But we come into this time to look at this word and to be changed by it. The word of God is thus the means by which the Holy Spirit speaks to us in a direct and forthright manner. There are other ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and that's wonderful. But the most certain, the most sure, the one that we can always count on is the actual text of the Bible. You know, sometimes we might get an interpretation a little off or a little wrong. And that's not the end of the world. But whenever we want to know with certainty what is true and what is not, we come into the Word of God. And 1 Peter establishes the sovereignty of God just as it establishes the mercy of God. This is a rich passage, and there's much to consider and explore. So I read it to you now again in its entirety. I read 1 Peter 1, 1 through 6. Hear now the word of the Lord. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last times. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, there are a couple of matters that come back to us this week that we've discussed in previous weeks. And the first one that we get to is the word elect. Election is a doctrine that's extracted from the scriptures that posits this, that makes the claim that God chose us before we had a chance to choose him. This is very clearly a scriptural note that is hit often and repeatedly. The idea is that we take absolutely no pride, no sense of accomplishment in ourselves, in our new birth. The new birth that we're going to talk about is entirely a function of God's choice of you. It has nothing to do with us. One of the declarations that is very biblical is to say simply this: I am a sinner saved by grace. The note there hits it. It is a statement of truth, and it is also a statement that points us to the goodness and mercy of God, which we talk about in this passage, that it's according to His great mercy that we've been born again. And why are we born again where maybe others are not? Why do we get that? Is that because we've studied, or is that because we're smart, or simply just do a better analysis of the facts? No, absolutely not, 1 Peter wants to say. We are entirely, completely, absolutely, resolutely, without question, undeniably, irrefutably saved, not by anything that we do, but rather by what God has already done in and through Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. That's the point Paul is making, of Peter. I keep wanting to call him Paul, but Peter is making here is that that this letter is to the elect. This letter is to the people from Ephesians 2:1 that God chose in him before the foundations of the earth. Ephesians 1:4, I'll read it to you. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. What Paul is getting at here, as well as this understanding of born again related to new birth and related to mercy, is that we have been chosen by God to receive this gift. Gosh, what an important note that is for us to hear. It is important because there is a certain amount of pride and arrogance that's birthed the minute we start thinking it has something to do with us. If we look at this term foreknowledge and make the claim, well, God knows I chose right in the end, we misunderstand foreknowledge that's used here in 1 Peter. Foreknowledge of God is simply an acknowledgement that God knows what is going to happen, but his choice is independent of it. His choice happened before the foundations of the earth. God chose you, and for that reason, none of us should boast. We await that salvation that comes. The next word that we looked at was exiles, and we talked about what does it mean to be an exile in this time and place. And very simply, to be an exile is to be someplace that isn't home. We're not home. Paul tells us again in Philippians 3:20 that our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What that means is that we can look at the events, the horrible and shocking events this week in Texas, and we can look and say, this is not where we're from. This is outside of the realm of normal. And in fact, this is not at all where our citizenship is from. Now look, let's be careful here. That doesn't distance or divorce or somehow negate our ability to act and to perhaps try to come up with some way to stop these kinds of massacres. But at the same time, what we have to realize is that this is life in brokenness. That as there is sin, as there is this deleterious force that infects us, that we're going to have events of this magnitude and this order, no matter what. And the idea is that we aren't from here. The idea is that somehow we are different. But that difference is what makes us so necessary to this world. Don't miss this. The people of God have been in exile before. And believe it or not, being a Christian in modern America is becoming more and more like an exile. Start start talking at a dinner table about Jesus Christ and look and see how fast people start backing away from you, even if they're Christians themselves. We think differently than the world, and we should, in fact, be acting differently than the world. And in that, we realize that God is doing something in and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're exiles, but we've got something to do. The people of God have been in exile before, and thankfully, God gave instructions to us then as he gives them to us now. Though we may be in exile in this world, hear what the Lord says through the prophet Jeremiah. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your son and give your daughters in marriage, that they may also bear sons and daughters. Multiply here and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Here is our solution. We may not be from this place. We may look at the events in Texas with a shocked and mortified eye, but we're not to divorce ourselves from the solution. We are, in fact, called to be peacemakers in an unpeaceful world. We're called to be light bearers in a time and a place that is particularly dark. We're the ones that do the work that changes the world. And we can't miss that, even though we're in exile, just like Peter addresses his letter to the elect exiles. And that choice of God, that having called our name before the foundations of the earth, that lends itself to the awareness of new birth. Now, we talked about that a little bit last week, and in fact, several of you remarked that maybe I should have had an altar call. I thought that was particularly nice. Thank you for the compliment. Now, again, we don't necessarily do things like that in the Presbyterian Church because we have this real rigid sense of propriety, I think, at some level, and that's okay to a point. But the thing is, and Freddie and I were talking about, Freddie mentioned this in Bible study this morning, there are only new birth Christians. If we read the Peter faithfully in here and in another section, but more importantly, if we read the entirety of the New Testament, we're going to find that category of new birth inescapable. That isn't to say that it happens suddenly for everyone, like with a big fanfare or a cry of the archangel or something like that. It doesn't happen like that. Sometimes it can be as slow and as arduous as the world turning around one time on its axis. We hardly know we've moved, and yet we've done an enormous amount of distance in movement thanks to the earth spinning. So when we talk about new birth, we're talking about, first of all, something that God brings about. And secondly, something that is indispensable to the life of a Christian. We have these experiences where we talk about our faith. If it hasn't happened to you yet, don't be frightened. There is a great parable, and we'll talk about it in a moment, that gives us all hope, I think. The fact of the matter is that we are elect exiles who have been given a new birth. There is something sustainably and appreciably different about us that does not necessarily exist with everyone else. We have new birth as part of our faith tradition, too. Hear now from the Westminster Confession of Faith. Here it talks about effectual calling, but in actuality, it sounds an awful lot like new birth. Listen and hear what is very completely Presbyterian theology. All those whom God hath predestined, elected into life, and those only he is pleased in his appointed and accepted time, effectually to call by his word and spirit out of that state of sin and death in which they are by nature to grace and salvation by Jesus Christ, enlightening their minds spiritually and savingly to understand the things of God, taking away their heart of stone and giving unto them a heart of flesh, renewing their wills, and by his almighty power determining them to that which is good and effectually drawing them to Jesus Christ, yet so as they come freely, being made willing by his everlasting grace. What Westminster is telling us is that new birth is very Presbyterian, that new birth is biblical. The Westminster Confession of Faith. I wish I could have showed you this passage, but there is an annotated version that has all the scripture citations after every line so that you know without question that what's being said is biblically rooted. And then you can go and get those quotes, those verses rather, and look and see for yourself that yes, this is in fact biblical. So it is biblical to say that by God's choice, by his great mercy, according to, that means because of his great mercy, you have been called, your name chosen before the foundations of the earth for new life. Rejoice. New life is your inheritance. It's your birthright. It's what God intends for you. In the Westminster Confession of Faith, we heard that this effectual calling, this new birth, is going to see our hearts melt from a heart of stone to one of flesh. That's new birth. If you have a tender spot, if you have some heart, you will recognize the truth of this, that when Jesus Christ comes into your life, it's almost like the Grinch story. Your heart grows three sizes too large. It happens in new birth because in new birth we lose our self-obsession and begin our obsession with Jesus Christ, who sends us out into the world to love God's people. We're chosen for new life. We're elected because of his mercy. We're born again to a living hope through Jesus Christ's resurrection. And we come into an inheritance that Paul writes is imperishable, that's undefiled, that's unfading, that's kept in heaven for you. Here, what Peter is speaking about is the kingdom of God, your inheritance, your birthright. Your future isn't here. It never was. Your future exists in the kingdom of God, and that comes right quickly, right? The kingdom of God is coming, is what the Bible says. And in fact, part of it has already broken into this world. There is, in fact, a little portion, a little sliver, a little smidgen of the life that comes, the kingdom that's here now, and where it is here in the Church of Jesus Christ. We are the proleptic involvement of the kingdom of God. That necessarily means that God is showing forth through his church, equipped with the saints, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we are demonstrating the kinds of life that exists in the kingdom, right? We live joyfully. We live peacefully. We live without prejudice. We live with love in our heart for everyone. We live for the gospel. We live for that opportunity to look someone in the eye and make the timeless declaration, I once was lost, but now am found. I am a sinner saved by grace. And because of that, I want for you what God is giving to me without cost, without charge, for no reason of my own. Some reason God has delivered to me this grace, this magnificent salvation, and the proper response, the new birth response, the response that born again folks give is, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Send me. How are you feeling today? Are you feeling sent? Are you feeling called to share the gospel? Because if you are, you can rejoice that that's a symbol of new life. If you're not, if it frightens you or scares you, relax. relax. Don't fret. God is working even now amongst his saints to bring them more and more to his glory. So if it doesn't fill you with the thrill right yet, don't worry, someday it will. Just keep your head in the Word and keep your mind out of the world. Because those two things are essential to our faith. To hear over and above the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of God, which tells us that we are not creatures of our own creation. We don't need to brand ourselves or have the most followers on social media to be significant. Our significance, our importance exists because a God who is omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, ever-present, chose us. Can you imagine it? Before the foundations of the earth, he selected us, you, me, to be faithful, to have new birth. And that new birth is designed for us to get our hands involved, to dig into the work that Jesus Christ has called us to, and to make disciples of all the nations. That's the work to which we're called. We're called to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching everything that Jesus Christ has commanded us, and to make disciples to the very ends of the world. That's our mission. The more and more we lean into the gospel, that is that we are sinners saved by grace, the more capable and equipped we are to do the very thing that we're here to do, which is to seek the welfare of the city that we're in, to use Jeremiah's language, and to be a force for the gospel in this time, in this place. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting that we turn our attention to the lifting up of our prayers of intercession and supplication. We believe very clearly, reading the scripture, that God is in fact not only hearing our prayers, but is indeed doing something about them. So join us as we pray. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, great indeed are you and greatly to be praised, O Lord, for before there was anything, there was you. And your word tells us that there will always be you, there always has been you, and there always will be you. And what a great comfort and joy that is to us to know that we, through our saving by Jesus Christ, are now part of that eternal nature of God. We thank you, O Lord, that you've allowed us to die in our sin and to be raised into new life, in new birth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Enable us in that new birth to avoid sin more and more. Equip us, O Lord, more and more to do your work and your will in this world. Heavenly Father, we recognize this world is still a broken place when we hear of like the events in Texas. O Lord, be with those families, providing all necessary comfort and assurance in this dark and horrible time. O Lord, we pray also for all of the men and women of our armed forces. We know that Memorial Day is about the fallen, but we can't help but express our gratitude, O Lord, to you for these men and women that serve our country so valiantly. O Lord, continue to protect them, keep them safe, keep us in a posture of peace so that we might continue to see those young men and women in our armed forces thrive and grow more and more in your grace. Gracious God, we pray for the members of our church, and we continue our prayers for the family of Jerry Rhodes as they mourn her passing. We pray for Dennis and Debbie Abernathy. We pray for Ronnie Peterson. We pray for Jill Griffin. We pray for Jack McClure and the many others on our prayer list and those that we've named silently in our hearts, O Lord. Give and deliver unto each of those exactly what they need, and most especially, O Lord, deliver yourself. Let everyone know that Jesus Christ is Lord and that our Lord laid down his life for us and to make sure that we would have a spot in the everlasting kingdom of God. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of that coming kingdom, and we make them all, concluding with the prayer Jesus Christ taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now it's right and fitting to turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver.
Touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm storms reach high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. For I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storm rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. Well, he walks with me, and naught of earth can harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are the giver of all good things. And as we bring a portion of that goodness back to you, we just ask that you use this offering to do your work and your will in this, your world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, as we depart, we do so with the knowledge that we have been brought to new life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ through the dead, and that we have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and kept in heaven for us. And we're guarded from this time until that time by the power of the Spirit through our faith. That's good news. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forever. Amen.
In your bulletin, the words of our departing song, Onward Christian Soldiers. Let's sing it together.
Onward Christian Soldiers, marching past to war. With the cross of Jesus hanging on before, Christ the Royal Master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching at the war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Have a great day.